Chapter 1. Déjà vu.
"Check your guns, Mr. Heron," the lieutenant ducked between the beams. "The French will not expect our weight of shot. Make it count."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
responded Midshipman Harry Heron.
"You heard the lieutenant, men. Check the locks are primed and all the lines are clear."
"We're ready, sir. We'll show them Frenchies."
The waiting was always the worst. With the ports closed, the lower gun deck was shrouded in darkness. No lamps were permitted now that the ships were cleared for action, as a spilled lamp would mean fire, and fire would mean the death of them all. Once they raised the port lids and ran the guns out, there was no time for anything but decisive action.
"All guns, load double shot!"
The order, bawled down the hatchways, reached Harry, and he relayed it to his crews. Harry checked his division of the battery.
"Make them count, men. We've not got a second chance once this companion engages."
"Captain plans to engage close, then,"
Fergal remarked as Harry passed.
"Aye, it will be hot work, I think."
The deck shuddered, and a heavy crash resounded above them all as the ball found its mark somewhere in the hull. A rush of feet told its own story, but the word soon passed that the damage was minimal and there was no casualties. In the gloom, Harry watched his childhood friend Fergal check in the rammer and sponge for his gun while the rest of the gun crew made sure their training tackles, breech ropes and all their equipment were ready and to hand. Danny, the powder monkey, a boy of about 11 years, walked between them scattering sand, ensuring that the crews would have a good grip of the deck as they worked around the gun. Harry walked forward, checking each gun and crew.
"Stand ready to transfer to the starboard battery. If the opportunity serves, the captain may change course."
Satisfied with the inspection, he ordered, "Stand by." The lieutenant's call urged Harry to his station near the number 8 gun, where he stood close to Fergal and awaited further orders. Danny clutched two large wooden powder carriage cases as if his life depended on it, and it did. These carriages were required for reloading the number 8 and number 10 guns as soon as they fired. It would be the boys' task to run to the magazine on the deck below and bring up two more, repeatedly, until the engagement ceased. Harry grinned at the grubby face.
"Here, Danny, is it?"
The urchin nodded in awe as being addressed by an officer, even though the officer was only 5 years his senior.
"Stand between Fergal and me until we need you."
"Aye, aye, sir."
Always ready to work, Danny capped off his reply with an enthusiastic gap-toothed grin. He'd lost a front tooth and couldn't wait until a new one came in. Seconds later, a crash accompanied by a great shudder told them that the ship was struck by several heavy balls. This time, the Loblolly boys told their own tale of injuries and perhaps dead on the deck above. The ship plunged steeply, then bore up sharply as the French head reached on then. They heard the sharp and distinctive bellow as the larboard of the 42-pounder carronade spat its vicious charge. Not for nothing were these guns called smashers by the British tar and the devil gun by the French.
"Await my orders to open ports and run out," called the fourth lieutenant.
Ever since the lightning strike at the Viara near Bombay, Harry's sleep had been troubled by some very strange dreams, some of which had been committed to his journal in a cryptic form. After each such dream, he'd awoken sweating and filled with foreboding. It was usually the same sequence. An engagement with a French man-of-war, brilliant flash of light, the sensation of falling, then a glimpse of the interior of some vast hall, before awakening, shivering and drenched in sweat. Now he had a moment of déjà vu. The scene was exactly that of his dream. He glanced at Fergal, ready to tail onto the tackle for the big 32-pounder. He was one of the usual 16 men needed to handle the massive gun, but their number had been reduced to 12 due to deaths and injuries during the voyage. Harry smiled as his friend acknowledged his nod. The French would not expect this heavier battery. Most 74s carried 18 and 24-pounders. Spartan had 32 instead of the usual 24s, and at close range could deliver a devastating barrage. The noise of the sea, the groan of the timbers, the shouted orders from the upper deck penetrated his thoughts as he experienced another moment of déjà vu. He shivered despite the heat.
"Our first engagement against a ship of comparable force, my friend," he said to Fergal.
Lowry added, "Let us hope his gunners are all seasick and her commander a landsman." The gun crew laughed, breaking the tension.
"They'll not be expecting our weight, sir."
"No, indeed, Hanson. I rely on you and the rest to make him regret his boldness.
Open ports."
The waiting man complied, and a burst of spray accompanied the growing light as the heavy port lid swung upward.
Run out!
Harry took a quick glance through the number 8 gun port as the crew heaved their charge into place. The enemy ship hull reared into view as the Spartan rolled at the top of the swell.
She's a big un, a 40 at least.
Silence on the guns, Harry snapped. Gun captains, use your levers. We're head reaching on him. Train aft and make every shot count.
The enemy ship erupted smoke and flame in a ragged broadside. Thuds and screams from the decks above told a tale of at least some hits.
Bloody Frenchies, aim for rigging, bellowed the gun captain.
For a terrifying moment as the ship lifted again, Harry saw the same view as his dream.
Ready to fire, sir, said the gun captain. As you bear, on the uproll. Fire!
A high-pitched scream that penetrated the ears and made Harry shut his eyes tight in pain drown out the rolling thunder of the guns. A flash, at least as intense as the lightning that had nearly struck him in India, penetrated his eyelids. Then he was falling, tumbling into darkness. He landed heavily, in part cushioned by someone's legs and lower body. The wind was knocked out of him as a smaller body landed on his stomach. He caught a brief glimpse of a huge grey-painted hall and strange buttresses along the wall forming a web across the vast high ceiling before his head made sharp contact with the hard surface, and blackness engulfed him.